The Greek word has to do with the threshold. You know, the threshold is the doorway. And outside is the world, but also like the doorway is the common entry of the house. People trample it over. It's a common place. The threshold is common. People's feet walk over it. It's not sacred. It's common. And that's the whole idea. It has this idea of it is a common thing. A doormat thing. Nothing sacred about it. Meaning to the priest, that's their biggest work day, is the Sabbath day. They do the most work on the Sabbath day. They do the most labor, cutting wood, preparing the sacrifices, killing, and all these works they do on the Sabbath day. To them, it's a common day of labor. But it is holy labor. Just like Jesus, this is common labor he's doing. I'm healing. What man is there who will not do that labor on the Sabbath day to save an animal? Verse 14, then the Pharisees went out and held counsel against him how they might destroy him. They were so displeased. And I do not think it was so much his interpretation of the law as that he contradicted them. And that was, they did disagree. But even whatever, you know, it's like it says in the book of 1 Corinthians, we speak the wisdom of God, which God hath hid in a mystery. The hidden wisdom. Right? Which none of the princes of this world knew. For if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord. No, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm paraphrasing from verse 7 and 8. You know, if they knew it, there was a certain wisdom that God withheld from these men, that if they knew, they would not have done the things they did. If they really knew that Jesus was Christ, they wouldn't have done and treated him the way they did. Merely out of their own sense of self-preservation. Not necessarily because they loved the truth, but because they would see that it was against them to do such things. So they would not do it. But God had already ordained that they would do it. So the wisdom was withheld. So if they behave themselves a little strangely to us, remember that it is with hindsight. There are things we do and hold that are very strange today, even now. Indeed, I tell you, you preach righteousness, you preach the gospel, people are not very receptive of it. Because to them, it's foolish. It doesn't make sense when you start saying, you know, perfecting holiness, laying aside all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You are actually talking about perfection. Well, that's the goal. And they, you know, and it's uncomfortable to even talk about it because people are so derisive of it. Oh, you know, when you talk about righteousness, they say people are more proud to declare how they fail. They don't say exactly how they fail. They just declare their failure. Oh, you know, they're a believer, they're a Christian. They want you to know, I sin too. I sin. I'm just like you. I know that. And you know what? There's nothing impressive about it. There's nothing special about it. Everyone knows that. What, do you got to prove it? You know I'm not perfect. That's why you snigger when I talk about righteousness. You know I'm a fallible man. That's why when I talk about success, there's giggling. But I believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe in the righteousness which is of the Spirit of God, that it will come down and dwell in man, even in a man such as me, can obtain it by the promises of God and by faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. It is by his name we overcome all the things of this earth and all the things and the works of darkness, laying aside every weight and the sin. When you talk about that, you get much the same incredulous reaction. How can you say such things? It is blasphemy to the modern sensibility to believe such things, just as it was blasphemy to the Pharisees to believe that it was okay to heal on the Sabbath day. You know, in the name of Christ, is it a sin to preach righteousness? You shouldn't say those things, Paul. You shouldn't say, you give people false hope. False hope. Yeah, you make people believe that they can walk righteously and they're going to be disappointed. Get thee hence, Satan. What do you know about righteousness? Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? They shut up the kingdom of heaven. They don't enter themselves, and neither do they suffer them that are entering to enter in. Oh, we can't obtain righteousness, and neither will you. Stay back. Get away. You can't approach. Verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. And he charged them, saying they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, and again, Jesus again asking to be kept secret. Because that's what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to fulfill the words of the prophet. We're about to go into that. But at other times I've said Jesus didn't heal everyone he encountered. Here it says he healed them all. And I just wanted to note that, lest someone get their head all puffed up. You know, there are other accounts in the Gospels where it says there were certain cities he went to where he couldn't heal everyone because there wasn't much faith there. So at times he did heal all, and many other times also he did not. Because his point was not to heal, but to do the works as a testimony of who he was. The works were a testimony, yet he was to try to keep it quiet. Verse 18, behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Isaiah 42. And what is the idea here is he's telling people to keep quiet to fulfill the prophecy that he would not be someone who would sound the trumpet before himself. I am the Messiah. Listen to me. Here I am. I am the Christ. Though he did speak publicly. It's not this question of whether he would speak publicly. It is the spirit in which he spoke. The spirit in which he presented himself. He presented himself in meekness. He presented himself in attempting to keep things quiet. In a sort of covertness of activity. But also doing things openly. Not doing things in secret.